Today is an amazing day for Lou and for me. So let's first pray in thanksgiving and love. Remember, I always pause in between parts of the prayer. I have not fallen asleep. I'm just pausing for a minute so that you can pray your own prayer in response to my statement. So, awesome God. You are with us. You surprise us. And you travel us to amazing places like Cocoa Beach, Florida. You fill us with the gift of your love through all the people you bring into our lives, especially right here at Cocoa Beach Community Church. We are eternally grateful. Amen. Whenever I start most anything, I always start with thanksgiving. It feels so appropriate. So first, praise and thanks to God for making it possible for Lou and I to have spent these last 6 years in this amazing church. The time has gone so fast. Thank you for Dr. Fred for inviting me back in 2009 when he scarcely knew me to come here and to be with you. What an amazing journey it has been. Thank you for Coleman and his wonderful support through these years. Thank you for all my spiritual life teams who have proven that this program really works. Thank you to all of you who have offered me hugs regularly and good wishes and made me feel entirely welcome. Thank you to Jan and her choir for fabulous music. I'm going to miss that a lot. It's been an amazing and unforgettable time of God's Spirit everywhere in every inch of this church. Now, this is also the Sunday after Easter when people often take a day off. Time for a little vacation from church, God will surely understand. And yet here you are, the faithful remnant. Thank you for being here. This Sunday after Easter is really a critical event because something incredibly real and special just happened when we celebrated Easter. And if we don't grab hold of that event and make it a part of our lives, it will be just another ho-hum Easter Sunday and not a day to change who we are. For Christ is risen, and we are all made new with him. And if we're not right there today on this Sunday after Easter, then his risenness is lost until next year. And that's a long wait. With God, every day is Easter. I declare you all to be God's new creation, ready to acknowledge your new beingness in this world as daughters and sons of the living God. Praise God. So now it's time to go back to part two of my two-part series about God. Remember, there are two places where God is always to be found within us. Place number one, God who dwells in each one of our hearts. We are touched by God's love in our heart. This is the God that brings tears and joy. This is the God I turn to when I'm hurting or worrying or celebrating with gratitude. This is the Jesus loves me God who fills my heart with presence and connection. Place number two, God who lives in our carotid artery, that place in our body that keeps us alive and moving, that essential carrier of our lifeblood, which keeps us actively caring for God's creation. This is the God of engagement in the world, the God who wants me to take Jesus seriously and go out into the world to change the world, to shake the dust off my feet and keep on moving. This is the God I dance with, the one who sends me into the world to transform it. My heart feels God's presence, and my carotid artery prepares me for action in the world. For love without action is incomplete, and action without love is equally incomplete. So when you think about God, think about God in your heart and that personal relationship you hold with God. And then think about God in your carotid artery, right here. That action God that energizes you to go into the world and to change it. Now, most of us are pretty familiar with that internal God of our heart, the one who comforts and loves us. We want that God to be with us always. But we are also living in a changed world where the external God of my carotid artery needs to be alive and well and active in the world. We have to change the world or we won't survive. It's that simple. Now, spiritual life teams are always operating in both places. They pray with their heart and they plan with their carotid artery. They gather to praise God and to support each person's journey to know God. And then they plan spaghetti dinners to support Lou and me when we come down here. They act in the world in multiple ways. I have been privileged to watch their spiritual growth for 6 years. And it is truly awesome. Our scripture readings for today, this first Sunday after Easter, remind us of our powerful connection to God. From 1 Peter, you never saw him, but you love him. Once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. From Psalm 16, my choice is you, God, first and only. And now I find that I'm your choice. And from the Gospel of John, blessings are in store for all who believe without seeing. For all of us gathered here today who understand that God is real for everyone. Today I want to leave you some life lessons to think about and close with a story I have never told you. I told you a lot of stories, but I saved this one for the last. As most of you know, Lou and I have been gathering data about spiritual life for now nearly 20 years, all over the United States and overseas. We've talked to over 4,000 people about God and about spirit, and published 4 books and taught at 2 seminaries. These life lessons I'm going to share are spiritual lessons from all the people who have shared them with us. I want to share them with you as my special gift to you today. 12 lessons. Lesson number 1. God is present and active in everyone's life 24/7. God's door is always open. God is the constant in this relationship. You and I have a revolving door relationship with God. We enter and we depart quite regularly. But when we decide to settle down with God, we are always greeted with open arms and total love, prodigal daughters and sons who are never outside of God's love and presence. Lesson number 2. We can't see or touch God. We don't control God. But we can experience God. And when we experience God, God becomes real to us. It's that simple. Lesson number 3. When we gather to pray together and to share God experiences, we are always moved to take some kind of action in the world to reflect God's presence in our lives. That's what God does. God nudges us, pushes us to do something with that spiritual energy that gets stirred in us. And so Carl and Lauren and Dolores are praying weekly with people at Cape Canaveral Hospital, taking communion to people who need communion. Jewelene is regularly playing the piano at the hospital to bring God's spirit of love into that location. Spirit always moves us to take some kind of action. It could be a call to a friend. A call from Jewelene when I was at the hospital to say, "How are you?" Doesn't have to be complicated, but actions are always part of God's presence. Lesson number 4. When people gather to pray and share God experiences in a group, like the Spiritual Life Team, God becomes very real in that group, and the whole group is transformed. It's no longer a group of separate people leading separate lives. It's a group of people who love God and who see God in each other and in the world. Lesson number 5, praying without ceasing is always possible because God is never absent. You can stop wherever you are and address God, and God is right there. Lesson number 6, prayer is a two-way conversation with God. Whenever I am with a spiritual life team and the team is praying, one by one, I hear God's voice in every prayer. Lesson number 7, God's other name is always surprise. If we could predict all of God's moves, it wouldn't be God. Lesson number 8, new life is God's signature. When we experience the reality of God, when we know that God is real, then our lives change in ways we never dreamt they could. Lesson number 9. New life doesn't mean getting what we want. Sometimes it happens when we learn a tough lesson. Sometimes it happens when we're most desperate and see no way out of a situation and an unexpected door opens. Sometimes it happens when we look at someone and we realize how deeply we love them. New life is exactly what it says. We've changed. We're different. We don't always know how to describe it, but we've learned something critically important. We have discovered God in our life. Lesson number 10. Loving always grows us and releases us from the limitations of ourselves. It is our greatest gift from God. Lesson number 11. spirit is ageless. It just grows, and it gets better if we allow spirit to unfold in us. For those of us in our old age, that's pretty marvelous to think. Lesson number 12, last lesson. Aging is beautiful. It's just not very comfortable sometimes. I like that a lot. Once you've identified the God in your heart and the God in your carotid artery that moves you into action, once you've learned that God becomes even more real when you talk about God, then it's time to translate that knowledge into action, which is the ultimate life lesson. And that's where pink shoes come in. I have to say to team two, I didn't know you were going to be in pink today. But surely this is another God moment, because my sermon is about pink shoes, and there you are, all in pink. That's neat. I have to take you back to 1970, when I was ordained, in those days when women clergy were not welcomed nor acceptable in most churches. And in fact, I wouldn't have had a job in a church at all if the women of a UCC church north of Chicago hadn't found me after I graduated and hired me to be their minister and to belong exclusively to the women only of the church. It was simple in their eyes. If they hired me and paid for my salary, I surely belonged to them. And they saw no need to ask for permission from anyone, including the three other clergy, the trustees, or the governing body. It created a very, very, very messy situation. But the doors were open for God and transformation to enter. It was very complicated. If I were hired for women only, then I certainly couldn't participate in the worship service where there were men. And for some, that was a great relief. So I was immediately relegated to the far corner office on the second floor during the week, as far away from the church office as possible, out of sight, out of mind. And on Sunday mornings, I was sent to lead a Sunday seminar in the basement, in the far corner of the basketball court, underneath the basketball hoops. But because God recognizes no boundaries, God was very present in the far corner office on the second floor, and in the basement, in the far corner of the basketball court, underneath the basketball hoops. And everyone who gathered in either place discovered God in their midst and rejoiced. And it was wonderful. Until one Sunday morning, when one of the important people from above came down to the basement, in the far corner of the basketball court, underneath the basketball hoops, where I was leading my Sunday seminar, a sort of Sunday school and basic psychology class, an exciting combination. It was an urgent visit, because two of the clergy who were allowed upstairs couldn't help out with the worship service, and they needed me to fill in. God was about to institute one of God's surprises. It was 10 minutes before the worship service was to start. The clock was ticking. And a personal crisis ensued. Not being allowed to be in the sanctuary and being around wonderful friends, I was wearing an outfit that was comfortable in the basement, in the far corner of the basketball court, underneath the basketball hoops. And that outfit consisted of fitted black slacks, black mesh hose, and very pink, very sexy high heels. I knew I was in trouble. I had a choice of walking up the center aisle in the sanctuary in bare feet, or in my black mesh stockings and shoeless, or going for broke and wearing the whole outfit. I dropped choices one and two, and I walked down the center aisle in my fitted black slacks, black mesh hose, and very pink, very sexy pink shoes. And as it turned out, all the things that I had done that stirred big trouble paled in comparison to wearing very sexy pink shoes in a worship service walking down the center aisle. And when the hate mail, literally, started to arrive in bulk, I reached a point of no return. A defining moment in my life, I consulted God and I made a decision that was absolutely firm. I knew this decision would change my life. I took plenty of time to make it and to make sure that I wasn't acting precipitously. I slept on it. I weighed all the options. I examined it from all sides, knowing this decision carried the full weight of my entire future with it. I decided, standing tall, from that day forward, as far in the future as I could imagine, I decided that no matter what, on any and every occasion in that church, I would always wear my pink shoes. And I'd be wearing them today, except that my brace won't fit in them. And I can't wear sexy pink high heels anymore. Now, telling you this experience is not the end of the story. When it came time for me to move on from that church, after so much had been accomplished, the wonderful people who were the precursors to our spiritual life teams held a going away party for me. And as you probably can guess, the party was done entirely in pink. Pink plates, cups, streamers, balloons, bottles of pink Pepto-Bismol on every table. If God has a color, it has to be pink. Now, this is not just the story of a rebellious woman minister. It is the story of what can happen in a church when God's Spirit is released into the world. It is what happens when Spirit grows in a group that loves God and lives out that love. It's what you do with the rest of your life after you find out that God is real. It's the Sunday after Easter when new life begins. It's the post-resurrection world when everything has changed because Jesus was dead and now Jesus is alive. Spirit, once released, can change the world. And it has already changed the world here at Cocoa Beach Community Church. Everyone has a defining moment when their life changes. When was yours? What's your version of pink shoes in your life? There is spirit in this church that is undeniable, beautiful, alive and well, and spirit is non-negotiable. It is utterly biased in the direction of God. Open that spirit door, and you will all be changed. Last Easter Sunday morning, I was in the emergency room at Cape Canaveral Hospital with an out-of-sight blood pressure reading, not my plan at all. I was admitted to cardiac care and given a team of nurses and doctors who were prepared to do whatever was necessary to lower my blood pressure. Nothing seemed to be working. The decision was made to try intravenous medications after multiple tests had been done. Surprisingly, I was pretty calm. Lou was there. The unit was busy. But there was a powerful sense of teamwork and spirit in Cape Canaveral Hospital on Easter morning. I thought of all of you at worship here. I wished I were with you and not in cardiac care. Nothing seemed to be working, but I remembered one of my Christian Science friends who taught me about God and life. And so I said to my heart, "You are a wonderful heart. You are strong. You have much work to do. You are well, and you are a part of God's kingdom." And my blood pressure numbers started to go down. And I say to you today, you are a wonderful church. You are strong. You have much work to do. You are alive and well. And you are God's church and a part of God's kingdom. It is your defining moment to proclaim that this church belongs to God, and we are all committed to being a part of God's kingdom in this church, our church, in Cocoa Beach, Florida. And may all the people say a resounding Amen.